From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of June, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We're into the last 7 days where dicamba products can be applied to GMO soybeans in Illinois. We'll hear more about that from Aaron Hager, weed scientist here at the U of I. We'll discuss what's been happening in the weather forecast with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Temperatures will have an impact on whether dicamba can be used, by the way. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a moment now for some calm and peace. Why don't you join me for my morning walk from today around the forest preserve near my home. In Chicago, July corn today, 0.75 cents higher at $3.31. December at 3.42 3/4 unchanged. The March at 3.54, up 0.25 on its settlement price. And the May futures at 3.61, up 1 cent. July beans, 0.75 cents higher at 8.73. The November at 8.76, down 0.5. And January down 0.5 at 8.79 1/4. The bean oil, 4 cents lower at 28.06. The bean meal at 288.80, up $1 even for the day. Wheat futures, July contract down 5 1/4, $4.83.5 the settlement price. September there down 5 1/4 as well at 4.88 3/4. In July, in the hard red at 4.28.5, that's the harvest month there, down 4 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby June at $96.75, 42.5 cents lower, and the August at $96.10, down 75 cents. Feeders off 60 cents at $132.97.5 per 100 pounds, and lean hogs in the July at $49.90, up 25 cents for the day. Crude oil around 80 cents a barrel higher. Ethanol down 0.7 cents per gallon. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 0.4 cents. And gasoline on the RBOB up 3 7/10 cents for the day. The Dow down around 130 points. The U.S. dollar is up 0.28. And the gold futures at $1,721.40, down $7.80. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us for the day.
Very well, Todd. Glad to be with you.
Well, tell me about the market this week. It seems just to be waiting after the USDA WASDE report of last week.
Yeah, it's waiting on that magical rain that usually comes sometime between June 15th and July 15th. A good broad base cold front that kind of marches across the corn belt and gives everybody an inch or two of rain. And it's really not in the forecast. There are some hints that we might be able to get some rain in here over the next week or so, but I don't think there's any real high confidence. This is the time of year that I watch real careful, especially as we go into the first day of summer. And this year, I think the first day of summer is going to be Saturday. And what kind of weather pattern we have, you know, in that window, first day of summer, give or take 2 or 3 days. My observation over the years kind of lays the groundwork of maybe what kind of weather pattern we might be expecting for the next 3 to 6 weeks. So that's kind of where the market's at. We so far crop conditions are pretty good. We are starting to see some drier areas that show up on the drought index map, but nobody, I think, is really concerned right now. The only thing is, I suppose, this seems like we've had enough planting delays and enough replanting and a cooler than normal type weather pattern here during May, June. It kind of looks like everything, the crop is behind a little bit. I think I picked up on the news wire, some crop services are indicating that something about 40% of the corn crop's going to pollinate sometime between July 10th and July 20th, and another 20% or so between July 10th and August 1st. So it does look like the pollination period has been delayed at least a week or maybe 10 days, rather than having a lot of pollination take place during the first week of July. It kind of looks like everything's going to start taking place during the second, third, and fourth week of July. So I think that's kind of what the trade is looking for, whether or not we get a good rain or if we, and what kind of coverage we get, what kind of amounts we get, what kind of temperatures are we under. I did see the latest, forecast from the National Weather Service, and it was kind of wanting to make us maybe a little warmer than normal as far as temperatures over the next 10 or 15 days. See whether or not that all materializes. This is going to be the key factor right here, is what kind of weather pattern is setting up for the summer. And then, of course, the report at the end of the month, I don't know if that holds any kind of bullish surprises. It's kind of hard to see that report showing anything bullish, but when you get into quarterly reports, anything can happen. I would say for the most part, I think everybody kind of probably looks for the corn acres number to maybe come down a little bit, maybe look for bean acres to come up a little bit based upon the corn soybean price ratio here during planting season. The stocks report, I just don't see how the stocks report could really come out bullish. It may come out supportive. You know, we may end more disappearance than what we kind of thought we were. But I just don't see anything bullish, and I think that's probably what the trade is kind of looking for, and just kind of got their hands in their pocket waiting around to see what kind of weather pattern develops, and then what kind of crop prospects we have as we go through the month of July. That's going to be probably the most important. I know the grain stocks and acreage is important, but weather pattern is front and center now, because it's all about new crop supply and how much we're going to have at the end of the next cropping year, whether or not we're going to see overall carryover stocks grow, or if we're going to see them level out or shrink. So that's kind of key. Generally speaking, I still want to be technically positive to market, or say be supportive toward the market. But I also know that this is the time of year where a good rain could pretty well take the wind out of any kind of bullish argument, at least for the next 30 days. And then we'll see maybe what August weather brings. But if we don't get any, if we don't get a good solid rain, and we don't have, and crop rating levels don't reflect a real big yield, then I think the market could continue to kind of creep higher a little bit. I do think the trend of the dollar, I do know that the dollar has been recovering a little bit over the past week, because it got to the point of very deeply oversold. But I think that the general trend of the dollar is to weaken. So I look for real assets, commodities, and that kind of stuff to be generally supportive to a weaker dollar. And I don't think that necessarily spells good news for the equities, but I'm not necessarily bearish to equities either. I think they're more in a sideways, choppy trading range, trying to decide on it what it wants to do based upon economic activity. Economic activity, we've had some generally supportive numbers, but everybody's skeptical of those numbers as we kind of had a period of pent-up demand. Everybody locked up in their basement for a period of time, and at least the state of Texas here, we've pretty well opened up. There's still some restrictions in place, but people are out spending money, and people are driving and consuming gasoline. So I do know that's happening in a lot of states, and I think that's being reflective in, you know, some of these economic numbers. But we're not clearly opened up. We're not back to what I would consider, post-virus normal or pre-virus normal. We'll have to kind of see how that goes. But everybody, a lot of people just continue to talk about the contravirus and how a second wave is coming. So that keeps everybody on edge in the stock market. I think that's one of the reasons the stock people were indicating that the stock market was setting back a little bit today. I personally not too concerned about it. I think, you know, the people that are in the high risk categories need to be careful, but the people that are not in high risk should leave a normal life. And that's what I'm doing down here in Texas. And we'll kind of go from there.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us, and you be safe. Okay.
Okay. Very well, Todd.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. You can find and listen to our programming on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play from the website or look us up as a podcast, an Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, even Spotify. In today's agricultural news, U.S.-UK trade talks are moving ahead, and China will meet its commitment to buy billions more in U.S. farm goods as part of the Phase 1 trade deal, this despite the coronavirus pandemic. That according to U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer. He made his comments before the Senate Finance Committee yesterday. Lighthizer says trade talks with the U.K. are on again as the global pandemic slows, but that there are tough issues, including protectionistic regional naming of common foods like meat, cheese, and wine.
It's a very difficult issue. To the extent that Europe and the UK make a deal and they give away this space, and it's not clear they will give it away or whether they will or they won't, but if they do, this is going to be a bigger and bigger problem. I agree completely on geographic indications, but with your position, I agree that it's thinly guised protectionism.
Lighthizer said he would not return to Congress with a trade deal unless it includes agriculture. Separately, Lighthizer says China will come close to buying in 2020 tens of billions more in U.S. farm goods under the Phase 1 deal, despite the pandemic and public doubts about China meeting the goal.
You've probably got about $10 billion. I've got my notes here. I can put them out. About $10 billion worth of purchases towards a target of something 40 or 50, all right? You then would say, okay, maybe 10 additional billion are going to be at the end of the year on soybeans. And then you have to look at what you purchase kind of between now and then. And I think if you do, it's reasonable to make the assessment that we're going to get to those numbers or awfully close to them.
Meanwhile, Senate Finance Committee Chair Chuck Grassley and ranking panel Democrat Ron Wyden criticized the U.S. Trade Representative for not being transparent enough with Congress on trade talks. You know, 5 of the remaining 7 days farmers have to apply dicamba products to soybeans in Illinois are a no-go. Farmers and retailers have been under pressure this season to get herbicides applied to soybeans, and it's caused a lot of headaches. A Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling caused a 5-day pause in the application of 3 of the 4 available dicamba products. In Illinois, unlike other states, that pause was upheld, and then the state tried to remedy the situation by adding 5 days to the application window, which now closes June 25th. Mostly, it's going to be too hot to spray during that time frame. Another regulation prohibits application on days warmer than 85 degrees, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Looking at the long-term forecast from the National Weather Service, it looks like the next 5 days will be a no-spray situation. We've got high temperatures well in excess of 85 degrees for today, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and extending into Monday. So of the 7 days that we have left, it looks like on the extended forecast, there may only be about 2 days.
Regulations require the forecast to be checked within 24 hours of the intended application.
Forecast, can change over time, but it looks like at least for the next several days, we're going to have to leave the dicamba sprayers parked.
That's for the dicamba-resistant soybeans. Other soybeans, they just look awful. There have been herbicide products for decades that burn the leaves of soybeans, and then they grow out of it. But this year's damage is, in a word, severe. Again, here's Illinois' Aaron Hager.
A couple possible reasons why that could be would be, number one, the environmental conditions, obviously, when these products were applied. If they're applied under very warm air temperatures, under very bright sunshine, we tend to see more soybean response compared with applications that were done under cooler and perhaps more cloudy skies.
The other possible explanation lies in the practice of adding a residual herbicide into the post-application herbicide mix. Hager says some of the residual herbicides could be acting in the tank mix like an additional crop oil. Now, this would lead to a more rapid uptake of the herbicide and consequently quick and extensive development of the burning leaf symptoms. Returning to dicamba soybeans, Illinois farmers unable to make applications by June 25th will need to use alternative products, glyphosate, PPO inhibitors, or both. The problem is that water hemp is likely to be resistant to one of the two, and maybe both. If that is the case, Aaron Hager says, there's no good chemical option for the field. Mike Tenora now joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Why don't you take us through the weather forecast for the next, week to 10 days or so?
Well, it's going to turn a lot cooler as we move into next week, at least for a few days. And it has been pretty hot off to our west throughout most of the last week. Most of the plains, including Nebraska and the Dakotas, have been way warmer than normal for a while. They're turning a lot cooler today, and the cool front that's making that change is moving toward the Corn Belt as we speak. It's going to take a while to get here, though, and until it fully clears the region, we'll see areas of showers and thunderstorms right on through Sunday, Monday, maybe even Tuesday coming up. Now, at least initially, most of the rain is going to be to the west of the Mississippi River, so Illinois and points to the east, where we would use some rain sooner than later. They're staying pretty dry for a few more days, and then things will start to change once we get into Saturday, especially Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. After that, another front moves on through. This one will hit us around Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, and that should bring another round of rain to different parts of the Corn Belt. So once you add up all of the rains that are coming up, we think that most of the central U.S. will end up seeing 1 to 3 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks, which is pretty close to normal. Average is right around 2 inches, so some areas will get a little bit less. All that puts us into the beginning of July. Once we get into July and we see how some of these rains have panned out and we see exactly what the weather is looking like over the first 10 to 14 days of July, that's when we'll start to have a lot better idea of what this growing season is going to end up like. Because right now we're sitting here talking, and some areas definitely need rain. Those areas would be Illinois, Indiana, parts of Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, even Kansas and Kentucky. So we do have some dry pockets out there, but there is this rain on the way. And that's why I think we're in a waiting game. We need to see how these things pan out exactly in order to start identifying where the true problem areas might be.
Dry areas are difficult. Dry areas that are really hot are far more difficult. And you sound like rain's coming, but what do the temperatures look like?
Well, they will be a lot cooler once we get into next week. Now, we need to keep a couple of different things in mind. Number one is that the Corn Belt and the Delta region around Memphis has been seasonable to cool over much of the last 5 to 7 days. That's in stark contrast to what it's been like off to the west, where it's been hot in Kansas, Nebraska, the Dakotas, even Minnesota and parts of western Iowa. It's been very warm with temperatures in the 90s most days over the last 1 to 2 weeks. Well, they're turning cooler in the plains now, and the Corn Belt's going to turn a little bit warmer as that cooler air approaches, because initially it turns winds in from the south, which warms us up. But then eventually that front moves through. That'll take place around Monday, and that's when we all start to cool off again. So basically temperatures end up pretty close to normal and a little bit cooler than normal once you add it all up over the next 2 weeks for a big chunk of the central U.S.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds great. Talk to you next week.
Mike Tenner is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. He is in Windsor, Illinois, there at his office space, and not on the farm this afternoon. Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us. Tell me about conditions around your part of Shelby County.
You know, I think for the most part, we're in pretty good shape. The April corn and beans look really good, quite frankly. The only planting period that really hurt folks was right there after Mother's Day. There's a lot of that that had to be replanted, but that stuff fired right out of the ground looks pretty good. You know, we're not hurting for moisture too bad just yet, but these hot days are sure sapping things. So I'd say overall, considering the kind of spring we had, we look pretty good.
What do you think of the marketplace this week?
It's kind of boring. I mean, it's just, you know, you get a little bit of a rally and it seems like you don't have anything to support that rally, and the market backs back off. And so, you know, obviously we've had some pretty good sales for soybeans here in the last couple of weeks. Exports weren't particularly great for corn here this morning, but bottom line, moving forward, is that this is going to be a weather market for the next few weeks. A lot's going to be determined here before too long as far as, you know, who gets the rain and who doesn't. So with conditions declining there on Monday, I think everyone's going to be watching closely to see what kind of rainfall distribution you get in the next 4 or 5 days, and then what conditions are again on Monday.
Are you concerned about the last couple of weeks of June and parts of July for old crop corn?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you're going to run out of time at some point. Obviously, I know there's a lot of old crop out there, and people are probably hopeful that a weather market will drag that cash corn market up. And I think, you know, some of the basis levels actually have been pretty good. They've narrowed up somewhat in places. But at the same time, if you get much of a rally, you've got to assume the basis won't hold together for too awful long, because, you know, there's just a heck of a lot of old corn out there. So I would be concerned on a rally, you'd lose some basis. But how much of a rally you get on old crop remains to be seen. I think if you get into a weather market, you're certainly going to see more of a rally on new crop than you will old.
What are the primary things you're watching beyond the weather at this time?
Well, you know, is China going to buy corn? Are they going to buy ethanol? You know, if they do, that's certainly going to help us. Are they going to continue buying soybeans the way that they have the last couple, 3 weeks? And if they do so, it's certainly going to be a real asset for us. But seeing ethanol bounce back has been nice to see. We just kind of need to see some export business as well.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org. Just click and play right from the website, the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can also find those programs anytime you'd like in your favorite podcast applications, including SoundCloud, Stitcher, NPR One, podcasts from Apple and Google, and of course Spotify. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking your time and spending it with us here at Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.